I gotta get a new one of these machines because I'm starting to have trouble with this one. Beautiful day here again yesterday, although yesterday we had quite a storm in the afternoon, lots of rain. Great for the crops, great for the grass, for the fruit trees and the flowers. And today's our last day of our national council meeting. We're doing good progress in terms of our congregational development. Yesterday we had at least one significant agreement and development, and that was that all of the temples and all devotees will only collect donations for one particular project, and that is for the Seva Puja, or the worship of the deities. And local temples will get one-third of that, and Radhisham will get two-thirds. So that's both a real national combined effort, and simultaneously it's standardizing the request and the use of donations. And which is actually donations. What I'm really referring to is an annual stipend by devotees, that someone who really identifies himself as a devotee of Krishna, as a member of ISKCON, that they should give. And then that's the figure of 60,000 forint, which is some region of $300 a year, to sponsor Seva Puja for the deities. And then, of course, if people want to give over and above that, then that will be organized for some particular project. But this is at least a common goal for everyone. So that was very nice. And we're working on how to further and develop our congregational preaching to nurture and give Krishna consciousness to the congregation, as the devotees have felt that that's a priority in terms of achieving our vision or goals of a unified yatra, which maximizes on its resources and benefits all of these centers. I'm just concluding on the last two questions that Adhikara Prabhu asked. He said, in Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we should try to be followers of Lalita, but this seems tough on Chandravali. If we all did that, she would have very few followers. Anyway, we are in the camp of Srimati Radharani and her followers. That's the emphasis that all of our books and scriptures give. Rupa Goswami gives a broad overview of the role of the different gopis and the different types of servants and assistants that they have. But when it comes to recommending what devotees should do, then we're all encouraged to be followers of Srimati Radharani, Lalita Devi, Rupa Manjari. And that's all right. We don't need to worry. This is all Krishna's arrangement. Chandravali is the Dakshina, or the submissive manifestation of Srimati Radharani, in order to increase variety in the spiritual world for Krishna's pleasure. So she'll always have followers, and if there's any shortage, they'll be manifested. And the conclusion is that whatever the apparent considerations, we should just follow in the footsteps and the instructions of our acharyas. Even, for instance, following the example of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was very particular about his allegiance to Srimati Radharani, so much so that he wouldn't even eat any food that came from the vicinity of Chandravali's kunj. Of course, that's a symptom of ecstasy, which can't be imitated. But nonetheless, allegiance to a particular group leader is one of the characteristics of the different types of camps or groupings that take place in the spiritual world. Question number four. In Goloka, there's a part that's inhabited by Hamrapun's devotees. Why would someone go there instead of to the part of Goloka where Krishna is? Devotees have different inclinations. Some devotees are predominantly devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, others predominantly to Krishna. I say predominantly because no one can be exclusively a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or exclusively devotee of Krishna. In other words, denying one, that's a material consideration and doesn't give one any access to Goloka at all. And so Jiva Goswami explains, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, that devotees therefore go to the Ishtadeva of their choice. Why does anyone want to worship Lord Narayan or go to Ayodhya? Because that's their particular rasa, that's their particular taste. However, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, or those Vaishnavas who worship Krishna and Lord Chaitanya equally, they go to both Svetadvipa as well as Goloka Vrindavan. And that's a very wonderful thing. Now, Balaram Das here is quoting Arivila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Skarvaj Goswami says that Krishna's coming as Mahaprabhu to promulgate the Yuga Dharma is incidental, and Srila Prabhupada calls it secondary. But Srila Prabhupada also says that Krishna actually can taste these feelings in the spiritual abode, but if he wants to preach Harinam Sankirtan, deliver the fallen souls, and answer Advaita Skala, then he has to come. So it seems that these are the primary reasons. The question's a little mixed up, but the primary reason for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming, or Krishna coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to be able to taste the sentiments of Srimati Radharani and then all of his other devotees. In other words, he places himself in the position of a devotee. But coincidental to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming is the necessity for establishing the Yuga Dharma of this age, which is chanting of the glories of the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also does that. However, it's a secondary or incidental to his first cause or first reason for coming, which is to be absorbed in the moods of his devotees. Indeed, it's also said that the mission of saving the fallen is actually being performed by Lord Vishnu, who is also present within the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that's all really a technicality. The main thing is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving Krishna consciousness to the fallen. He is tasting Radha Bhava, and we should do both of these things. As our Krishna consciousness develops, our entrance or understanding of all of these things becomes clearer. And the same goes with all other issues. The intelligence and mind of conditioned souls only stretches so far. Achincha, Kaluji, Bhava, and many of these things which we speak about are inconceivable. They require spiritualized intelligence in order to be able to really grasp. And even when they're grasped, they're not necessarily so easily communicated in terms of words. Or in other words, words can paint a picture and can contain the realization of realized souls, but then when they're heard by conditioned souls, they leave a different type of impression, because conditioned souls get different types of impressions even from spiritual things. So often we have to be satisfied with certain restrictions or limitations in our understanding, like the structure of the universe, perhaps, and so on, until our Krishna consciousness increases, and then naturally we understand these things more and more. We call that realization. Okay. Hare Krishna to everyone, and we'll be in touch tomorrow.